Hey everyone, it's your health bestie Barbara. In our last episode, we explored how love is not only a feeling, it is a set of relational skills that can be learned and practiced. We looked at how misunderstanding often drives conflict and the powerful role empathy and understanding play in creating connection. We also discussed how relationship skills strengthen families, communities, and the ripple effect of emotionally healthy relationships. Now that we have a basic understanding on how to strengthen our relationships, we're going to go into Zen meditation. It's a little different from what we have spoken about before. Zen is to transcend life and death, all dualism. To truly realize that the entire universe is the true human body through the discipline of mind and body in oneness. Our mind is our source of our experience of everything around us, of the world. And being able to understand our thoughts and how we're experiencing them can really help to improve our lives. If the main idea is to be summed up, then we would say the true self is the ultimate subject. The basis for all our illusions is the act regarding the objectifications of our own mind as a world independent of that mind, which is really its source and substance. So what this is saying is our mind is the source of everything that we experience. What we think is an external world separate from ourself is actually shaped and constructed by our own consciousness. The biggest illusion we live under is believing that things exist independently out there, separate from the mind that perceives them. In everyday life, we divide things into the subject, me, which is the observer, and the object, the world, what I see, hear, and think about. And so what we're doing here is we're saying that the subject-object divide itself is a mental construction, me and the world. Me and the world, that is the dualism. And through our discipline, what we're learning is oneness. This is what people refer to as mindfulness. So here's an analogy. So what we call objects are actually experiences arising within consciousness. So remember, object is the world. It's everything outside of us. But we are the observer. Think of a dream. While dreaming, everything feels external and real. But when you wake up, you realize the people, places, events all came from your mind. So what we're suggesting is that the waking life is not exactly a dream, but it's similar in structure. We mistake mental constructions for independent reality. So the phrase means we take thoughts, perceptions, and interpretations and treat them as if they exist independently of us. You see someone and think, oh, that person is rude, or that judgment feels like an objective fact. But it's actually your mind interpreting behavior shaped by memory, bias, or emotion. And this is important. It has practical implications. Suffering comes from clinging to things as fixed and external. If you see that experience arise within the mind, you gain flexibility, you loosen the attachment, and you suffer less. So the teaching does not mean that nothing exists or it's all fake. Instead, it means what we experience is inseparable from the mind experiencing it. So when we see it in everyday life, it becomes much clearer. So let's talk about some patterns that we've already seen. Maybe we sent out a message to someone, but they didn't reply. Now we start mind reading. Oh, they don't like me. They're ignoring me. I must have said something wrong. But what we're experiencing is an objective fact, a perception. There's no reply. A mental story that's layered on top of it. The other person might just be busy. Here's another one. Getting offended easily. Maybe a coworker says, "You could have done better." In your mind, you hear criticism. "They're disrespecting me." Someone else might hear the same words as helpful feedback. The offense isn't in the words themselves, it's how we frame it in our mind. The object isn't fixed. The experience of it is shaped by our mind. Maybe we see someone as bad. We meet someone and we instantly dislike them. In our mind, we label them as annoying, fake, or arrogant. But what we're doing is we're projecting interpretations based on past experiences, preferences, unconscious biases. You're not seeing a neutral person, you're seeing your mind's construction of them. And I'll give two more examples. One is reliving the past. We replay an embarrassing moment from years ago. What our mind does, it reconstructs the memory, it adds emotion, judgment, and meaning. But the moment isn't happening right now. What we're experiencing is a present mental recreation, not the past itself. The suffering exists in the mind's current activity, not in the original event. And the last one here is, this will make me happy. Perhaps you want something, a job, a relationship, or a purchase. In your mind, you think, once I get this, I'll feel complete. But often what happens, we get it, satisfaction fades, new desire appears. The happiness wasn't in the object itself. It was simply a mental projection. The pattern behind all of these is something happens, it's neutral or ambiguous. The mind interprets it. We give our meaning to it. That interpretation feels like reality. We mistake our interpretation of experience for the world itself. Once you start noticing this, you pause before reacting. You question your assumptions. You suffer less from automatic stories, not because nothing matters, but because you see, this is my mind shaping experience right now. Here's an exercise that you can use starting today. It takes about 10 to 20 seconds and it gets easier the more you do it. The first step is to pause and label. Pause just for a moment. When you feel a reaction, stress, annoyance, insecurity, don't stop it. Just pause slightly. Think, something just got triggered. Step two, separate what happened from your story. Ask yourself, what actually happened? The raw facts. What is my mind adding? This is the interpretation of the story. So the fact, they didn't reply to my message. The story, they don't respect me. This alone is powerful. You're seeing the construction happen. Step three, label it gently. Silently say, this is a thought. This is a story. This is my mind interpreting. Not to reject it, just to recognize it. Step four, open up alternatives. Ask yourself, is there another possible explanation? Maybe they're busy. Maybe they forgot. Maybe it has nothing to do with me. You're loosening the grip of the one story your mind chose. Step five, Return to the present. Bring your attention back to something simple, your breath, your body, what's in front of you. This grounds you outside the mental loop. So here's a shorter version. When things get intense, just do this. Fact, story, okay. Fact, they frowned. Story, they're mad at me. Okay. That's it. No need to fix it. What this builds over time. If you practice this consistently, something subtle shifts. You stop automatically believing every thought. You start seeing your mind in action. Reactions become less sticky. Not because you suppress anything, but because you recognize this isn't the world itself. This is how my mind is presenting it. So today, we started a new concept. We're learning about our mind and the way we are telling stories. We're learning to separate or perhaps put together ourselves and the world, rather than that separation of there's me and there's the world. We're getting rid of that divide. Try these exercises, and next week we'll take it a little bit further. This is Barbara with Health Solutions Today. And remember, love lives here.